everybody. Welcome to a brand new, exciting episode of Not Aspirational with Hannah Brown. I'm your host, Hannah Brown, and welcome back, everybody. I am super excited about today's episode. Right off the bat, a couple of housekeeping things. First of all, if you don't follow me already, follow me on Instagram at Hannah A. Brown, on Twitter at Hannah A. Brown, and on the TikToks at Hannah A. Brown Zero. Also, if you are loving the show, please do me the utmost favor and head on over to iTunes and leave it a rating and a review. I love to hear from you and I super appreciate it. Also, if you can't get enough of me, head on over to patreon.com/notaspirational. And for just $5 a month, you get access to all the bonus episodes. I'm recapping season 2 of Roni. I also have some fun, just like other episodes planned. So check it out. Also, if you're in the mood for some cute pop culture merch, specifically some spooky pop culture merch, make sure to head on over to Totally Good Time and use my code NOTASPIRATIONAL15 for a spooky discount. Truly though, Totally Good Time has some awesome merch coming out in honor of Halloween season. And I mean, I just love Totally Good Time in general. We all know this. So make sure to head on over to Totally Good Time and use my code NOTASPIRATIONAL15 for 15% off. Also, what else? I think that's it. Oh, no, sorry. Also, if you haven't checked it out already, make sure to listen to my new seasonal Gossip Girl podcast that I co-host with my friend Tyler Meredith called You Know You Love Us with Hannah Brown and Tyler Meredith. We are digging into season 1 of Gossip Girl and it is true insanity. So if that sounds fun to you, make sure to give it a listen. Light a pumpkin spice candle, drink a little cider, a little chai perhaps, and enjoy autumn with us and this nostalgic waltz down memory lane. Okay, I am super excited for today's guest. She is a close friend of the podcast, one of my favorite people. We have Taria Faison. Taria is the host of two incredible podcasts, Tales from a Butterfly and a Bravo podcast called What Else is Going On. Her perspectives on Bravo are second to none. She is so wise. She is so funny. She is a beacon of wisdom, light, and joy. She uses her platform to make people laugh and she gives her opinions on Bravo, but she also uses her platform to educate people on the Black Lives Matter movement. She informs others by sharing stories of her own experiences as a Black woman, and she draws parallels between Bravo and current events so seamlessly and beautifully. It's incredible. Make sure to give her a follow. We had an amazing conversation where we discussed so much, including but not limited to Taria's beauty hacks, our McDonald's McNugget rituals, last week's explosive episode of Real Housewives of Potomac. We also touched on Jackson Brittany's gender reveal and so much more. Taria also gave one of my all-time favorite answers to the question, what aspirational thing do you want but you don't have yet? And you will definitely see what I mean. Her answer was amazing. So without further ado, let's get into it. Here is my conversation with Taria Faison. Oh my gosh, Taria, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
I'm excited. I'm excited to be here, guys. Hannah looks gorgeous always.
Oh my God, you look gorgeous always. And really quick, just right off the bat, because you have so many good tips and tricks. I need you to explain to my listeners right off the top why you look so glowy right now. What are you using? What can you recommend?
So it's funny, Kim Kardashian's makeup artist, I think it was him, developed a skincare line with someone. I believe it was a Korean woman and it's called Tatcha, T-A-T-C-H-A. Mm-hmm. So I use their purple face wash and it has you guys will figure it out.
Something great for your skin. It's working. Yes. So
I use that. I wash my face with that. And then I use their dewy cream. It's purple. Use a tiny bit of that. Then I use a tad bit of sweet almond oil. And then to seal it all, and my face is still damp when doing this. I don't dry it completely. Use a tiny bit of Vaseline to seal it because my daughter has eczema. And growing up, We just always use Vaseline on our skin. The doctor said Vaseline is a sealant, not a moisture. So you have to be moisturized and then put the Vaseline on. So I said, well, if it works for her eczema, it'll work for my face. And that's what I use.
Oh my gosh. No, you look amazing. And I love the Vaseline tip because I too am a Vaseline user. I've used it since like high school and people always made fun of me because I would walk around with just this like vat of Vaseline in my purse. But a little dab on the lips, a little dab under the eyes, like it works.
It's, and if you don't have highlighter, it's like, oh, yeah, boom, boom, boom.
I got actually really annoyed when Lala Kent, aka Lauren from Utah, was like, I love Vaseline. My mama always told me to put under my eyes, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Lala, like, I'm not using this because of you.
Exactly. It's not, it has nothing to do with you. And I don't know if I believe you.
I know. I'm like, okay, whatever's going on with Lala's face right now, that is not Vaseline. That is Dr. Diamond in Beverly Hills.
By the way, I'm staring at your cat eye. I cannot do an over the top line. I can only do the lower and then I go inside of my top, but I want to do a cat eye.
Oh my gosh. You just need to practice. There's no time like the present, especially because we're stuck in our houses and like whatever.
Still, but we'll be here till January. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like the trick is I do it with a pencil and then I literally like run my nail through it. And then I like wipe around it. And then I go back over with an angle brush with like black powder on it.
You're going to have to text me that. Okay.
I will. I'm so thrilled to have you on the pod. And thank you. Thank you for coming on. Such a joy. Before we get into like my normal standard questions, I have some Taria-centric questions that I wrote just for you.
Oh my God. Okay.
Okay. This first question combines I feel like we're all kind of having wanderlust right now because we can't travel. Yes. And so this combines my current wanderlust with also my love for food and alcohol, to which I ask you, which Bravo cast would you want to go to dinner with the most? In what city? What would you eat? And what would you drink?
Okay. I would want to go to with the cast of Atlanta, but I don't want, and I know this is probably harsh. You may be nice in real life. Can I like remove somebody? It would be Kenya, but if not, fine. I'll go with whoever's there now. I want to go with them. I want to go in the city of New York because I want them out of their element too. And New York, when I go, it's like a shot of vitamin B12 and energizes me because I'm from Jersey, but I'm from South Jersey. So I love that adrenaline. I would have because I don't like a whole lot of different types of things. So I'd have a steak medium well with mashed potatoes, broccoli. I would have the salad. If they did not have Catalina, aka Red French, I would do their house salad or honey mustard poppy. And I would have a margarita on the rocks, sugar around the rim, no salt.
I love that. Sounds delicious. That would be a fun night.
That, I mean, because I think the steak, I would get a small one, not even a big one, because I don't want to be so full that then I'm like, oh, I can't wait to go back to the hotel to unbutton my pants. So I want to be full and warm and fun.
Wow, that is so true. That's such a delicate balance. Like when your eyes are bigger than your stomach and then you're like, but I want to keep partying, but now I'm tired and too full.
Right. And then I would have an off-the-shoulder shirt so I could highlight my shoulders. Yes. And then I would have my big hoop earrings. And I think I would do a sleek bun with my regular hair to kind of show off what little cheekbones I have. Probably jeans and a very nice heel, but I'd have my flip-flops somewhere on me. And Ramona's Gucci bag from what she got for her birthday.
Oh my gosh, you have painted a full picture. Outfit sounds on point. Obsessed with all these choices. You also have amazing cheekbones. And wow, no notes, Taria. That sounds great. Ramona with the purse. Okay, listen, I didn't watch the reunion part 3 until after you sent me the Ramona with the purse video.
Okay.
It was wild. She's like, thank you. Look what I got. It's like,
you are amazing. I kept watching it. I couldn't stop. I was like, can Jake play Sonya? Get out of here.
Oh my gosh. I've been meaning to put Jake in my videos. He doesn't know, but it's coming.
Oh my gosh. Are you guys going to do Ramona and Harry Dubin?
Oh my gosh. I want him to play Ramona's therapist and I want to be Ramona in therapy.
I just got a shot of energy imagining that. I cannot wait.
Jake's a good actor. He's kind of like Harry Hamlin about it. Like, oh, I mean, it's fine. But he's good at acting.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait. I can't wait to share it with the world and / shoot it. Okay. Let's get into Real Housewives of Potomac really quick.
Okay. By the way, that was an amazing question. And now I'm manifesting it. Okay. I'm back. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Manifest everything. You know, I love my woo-woo. Manifest all day. All day, every day.
Yes.
Okay, Potomac happened. We finally had that explosive fight. The internet is ablaze with opinions about this whole thing.
On fire.
On fire. It is driving wedges between friendships. This fight is ruining lives. It's probably ruining marriages. I mean, we can't agree. You posted an instant replay that I think told me everything I need to know.
When I saw that, because I watched it and I was like, okay, yep, just what I thought.
So where do you fall? I think that, okay, it was tough to watch. Monique, I mean, the way Monique, like Jake and I were talking about this, the way she just like stone-faced, just like held on and did not let go. It was shocking. Yeah.
And just like, get off of me. And clearly, you know, her mouth had to be burning because it was cut and she had wine probably gotten. That's all. I'm like, oh my God, the corners of her mouth are going to hurt. Like, and she's just like, get off of me. I feel like she's an undercover operative and must have gotten sprayed with mace because she didn't flinch when the wine, she just kind of blinked. I'm like, if that was me, I might've lost it for a minute. Like wine in my contacts.
I would have been like, yeah, right.
And to go in the confessional and say, growing up, my mom taught me if you are basically trapped, in other words, or I forget the word she used, but basically not secure with your surroundings, step on the foot, grab the hair and punch. I've heard that. I get that. However, I don't feel like you were threatened considering there was a full table between you guys. It's like, wow.
Yeah. I mean, and a crew and a bunch of other women. It's not like you were like in a private room where Candace could like beat her up and there were no witnesses and, you know, and she had no other options. Like people would have stepped in the middle if Candace tried something physical with her.
Exactly. To me, when she said that, because I had heard that too, I grew up maybe an hour from where she was. Mm-hmm. So I have family that lives down there. She's not far from Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. So I felt when she said that, I instantly went back to like, you're in high school or middle school. Mm-hmm. And that's how they tell you to get like, not, I understand that people our ages, yes, sometimes altercations do unfortunately happen, but she still has that same mentality.
Yeah.
Like, so are you going places where you expect people to fight? I mean, the way she just sat in that confessional and was just like, yeah, almost like she was talking about her bird or her husband. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It was shocking. And
what about the phone calls afterwards? I know I'm jumping ahead, but my heart for Candace, when she was saying, I love Monique, I'm your real friend. I'm her real friend. I felt like she was sincere in that moment versus Monique was like, yep, I don't know what happened. Embarrassing for who?
Yeah. I mean, I felt bad for Chris too. You could hear like the disappointment in Chris's voice, just like, oh man, like, are you serious? Yeah. Like you could just tell he was like, I don't want to have to deal with this right now. But like, and then like, I mean, I have a soft spot for Candace because Jake has said out of everyone on Potomac, I'm the most similar to Candace. And I know that Candace is a very polarizing person. I think she does have some redeeming qualities though. And I'm like, I'll take it.
Me too.
And I really felt for her. I mean, it was tough to watch. And I mean, we've seen plenty of physical altercations on Bravo. Like we watch it for people to fight. That's part of the entertainment. But this was like, I felt it in my stomach. I was like, oh God. Oh, like it lasted so long.
Yes. And that's, I was talking to Oh No Bravo. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because she said she's the most like, she's Candace.
When I was watching the live and when she said that, I was like, I feel seen.
I never cared for Monique, but when I was talking to Oh No Bravo today, because she came on this morning, it dawned on me that sometimes you don't like someone because you kind of see yourself in them. Mm-hmm. And not saying I see myself in Monique, but I was telling her when Monique was, when she just almost like she had had enough, even though I don't know what enough from, because that's the thing. It's like, what was the buildup? But
right.
Nevertheless, she felt like she had enough and she went for it. I felt myself in that moment, her thinking like, Candace, oh, you're going to, for me, I feel like if you know, if somebody's coming at me and you know, you wouldn't normally come at me in private because for whatever reason, don't wait till you have an audience. So I think she felt like Candace was performing, like twirling. And then I felt like, I feel like she thinks people look at her as like, I don't take no stuff. So I have this girl almost baiting, which I don't think that was much of a bait, but baiting me. So now I got to prove, yeah, I am that girl. Mm-hmm. Because to me, running your mouth, it's like, when I say somebody's running their mouth, that means they're talking about me, not just antagonizing each other in each other's faces. So I was like, in that moment, I felt like she was like, I need to show everybody that I'm that girl. Like, she's not going to play with, because you hear, she said the hood came out, and I was like, oh, I almost got it, but I still think to go to those extremes. So when you watched it, you said you got like the flurry. When I watched it, I'm afraid to admit, I started screaming. I felt an anger. Like, I wanted to jump in and defend Candace and just like grab Monique. And I was like, oh, why? And I literally felt, why is that like a little bit triggering for you? Mm-hmm. Because I felt angry, like watching her do that to her. But I will say that I'm going to be buying Candace's hair for when I put in a weave and the glue or the thread that she uses, because
did not move. I was like, wow, she looked great.
Yeah, her hair was reminiscent of Giselle's hair in Giselle's 50th birthday shoot. And it was like really wild. And like,
yes. She walked away though, and she kind of just like straightened her hair out, and she's like, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine. And like gets in the car. And I was like, whoa, she's like very composed, all things considered.
Yes. But I wonder it, like with Candace and her mom. And I feel like Candace feels like she always has to defend herself all the time, even with these ladies, just like when they ambushed her at the dinner, like in the beginning of the season. So I felt like her defense mechanism just snapped right back in place. Like, I'm not going to let you see me feel weak, which is why she was like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean,
Jake is defending Monique. Jake like loves Monique.
Jake.
He's like a Monique stan. He's like, listen, no, it's not okay to get physical, but Candace knows exactly what she's doing. She's yapping and getting in her face. She knows what she's doing. She's antagonizing her. And he's like, there's a bunch of compounded things that happened off camera that led to that moment. And I was like, okay.
Tell Jake, Taria said, we've had our first argument in our friendship.
Yes. I mean, I think Jake also like has a huge crush on Monique and like, you know, tries to act cool about it because she's like stunning. Regardless, not okay to just grab someone's hair. I mean, you just can't do it.
Right. And the fact that she started, like when all this leaked last year, she said, even when she filed her police report, she said it was because Candace threw a wine glass at her. Mm-hmm. She's still maintaining she swung because Candace threw the wine glass. We can clearly see the wine glass was like, what's going on? What's going on?
Yeah.
As she was pulling her.
Yeah. It was like as a result of the hair pull. Yeah. I mean, once she started flicking at Candace's hair, I was like, that would piss me off so much.
Hannah, I was going to say, so if me and you are we're friends, and clearly that there's still emotion on both sides, because if you didn't care about each other, it'd be indifferent. So if imagine me in your face and our senses are already heightened and I flick your hair, that may cause you to grab my hand, not just like,
I know.
I think Candace did pretty good considering, because it would have taken one flick of the hair. And we don't know what we would do, but I know how my body probably would have reacted. Like, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I think I would have been like to anyone touching me, like, don't fucking touch me. Even if,
right.
You know, even if it's your hair, I think it was, and I just listened to you on Is This Real Life with Mandy Slutsker. And, you know, you both said like, then it was on Monique at that point to walk away and be like, okay, I'm getting really upset. I need to like remove myself from this situation. Cause Candace knows how to push buttons and she likes it.
Push buttons. Yeah. And I really think, though, I honestly, truly don't think Candace ever in her wildest dreams saw it going that way, because she started out like, I love Monique. And I think when friends, sometimes when you argue with your friends and you're out, you may be trying to have fun, but kind of may say something shady because you know it's going to get a response, and you really want it. You really want the issue to come out. So if I'm upset with you, but I'm not asking her why she's upset, so I'm going to throw something out, and then that's going to trigger Hannah. And then in my mind, hopefully she'll say something. When I was in college, my roommate got into a fight with, like, physical with another girl. Well, actually, it was, she got into a physical with somebody else, but she got into an argument. That was the first piece of it. It was like so much, but the first piece of it, she got into an argument that with a girl that was her friend on our floor for the whole year. They were so close, and the argument kept going on, and it almost did get physical, and somebody broke it up. But later on, they did make up, and the girl said, I kept arguing with you and kind of provoking you because I knew where we were in our relationship. If I had walked away from the argument, or you had walked away, our relationship would have been done. Deep down, I didn't want that, and I didn't want to say that, but I felt like as long as I was engaging you, even though it was negative, we were still having some type of engagement. And I, even back then, I was like, that's interesting that you wouldn't just say, I'm done, enough. But she felt like once the argument ended, or if they got into a fight, that would have been it. So she continued to argue with her. So I'm wondering when Candace was like, because you were asleep, because you know your friend. So Candace knew that Monique was going to say something back, just like you said. Right. She knows how to provoke. But I think she thought maybe they were going to talk about it, because she led off with, I love Monique.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's interesting too, is I'm like, I don't really understand what Candace was trying to accomplish. I know clearly not that. I mean, yeah, it's just, it is, to your point, like, tough when you have a close relationship with someone, you do know them pretty well. You do know what's going to wind them up. And I think for Candace, I think because of the way she was raised with her mom and everything, I think there is like a defense mechanism of like her saying something shady and then being like, I'm just kidding, and like kind of playing it off and not really wanting to get vulnerable and be like, Monique, I'm really hurt that our friendship isn't what it used to be, you know? And so then her whole like way of sort of like getting out her feelings is to make these sort of shady jokes. And when you make one after the other, eventually someone's going to snap on you, because especially Monique knows exactly what she's doing.
Right. And then especially, and then you almost wonder, like, were they going to come back? Because when Candace was dancing and then she goes, Monique is like, twirl for me in your cheetah. So she did. So it was like, where are we going? Where are we going?
Right. And Candace is so theatrical too. Like, I always love when she like starts singing in the middle of an argument. It's like my favorite thing she does. And when, what was it at that dinner when she like picked up a knife or something and she's like, everyone calm down.
What about, remember when they went to France and Giselle and Karen got into that, I think it was France, got into that huge blowout, and she's like, white people are watching. They're looking at us. Be quiet. It was like, so she is, and I wonder if she uses that as different, as a shield.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, and that's part of why I'm like, I see myself in her, because humor is a great way to sort of deflect from being vulnerable.
Yep.
But I think Candace is actually a very sensitive person and just plays off like she's not.
And that's why her words could cut glass when she says them. I'm like, she is a master wordsmith at the same time. It's like, if you, Monique may use her fists, but Candace can use her words. And if you're going to go back and forth with Candace, you better be ready to go back and forth with, because even though some of the stuff is cringy, it's like funny. When she called Giselle's house a tear down, I was like, oh my God.
I know. It's almost like it's interesting, because you see like Ashley, who I think is another cast member who loves to antagonize people and like try and get in there and like poke at people and say the thing that's going to piss them off. But she doesn't have a way with words the way Candace does. Like, Candace can carefully choose like five words and undercut every nice thing you ever thought about yourself. And you're like, oh shit. Like, I want Candace in my corner. I do not want to go head to head with her.
Yes. And I think it's funny. Well, it's funny. Like, yes, she's made references to Ashley's forehead because she knows that's a thing that Ashley's talked about. But unlike a Kenya in Atlanta, where Kenya will be like, oh, you don't have any edges, or blah, 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 or someone will say something about Kenya's skin. Mm-hmm. Candace is using words like bed wench, concubine. Like, what?
Concubine.
Wait a minute here.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and the funny thing is, an overseer, and it's like, you do realize you're married to a white man too, because you're making that reference for the interracial thing. But again, it was like, where did she, I thought that I liked words, and I have a friend who is masterful with words mm-hmm. too. Candace is like, you have a thesaurus on your phone, and I think you learn a word of the day, maybe three words of the day, and yeah. you practice them in sentences, because
yes.
And she's a smart girl.
She always uses them right. Unlike Katie yeah. Maloney, who, like, you know, does the word of the day and doesn't use them right.
And because she talks so slow, it's like, now we have a new word of the day. It's tomorrow, because you've...
I've tried listening to her podcast because she has some really good guests on. Here's the thing. I'm like rooting for Katie Maloney more than anyone else in that cast yes. right now, except for like Tom and Ariana, obviously. Yeah. And I like Dana. You know, I like a handful of them, but as far as like the Witches of WeHo, Katie's yes. the one that I'm rooting for. The interesting thing about her having a podcast is she always kind of sounds like she just had a gummy. So it's like a very like slow, like, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And it's like, if you're just trying to have like a chill afternoon, you're sipping your wine in the backyard and you want to listen to Katie talk to some cool people, like, fucking go for it.
Right. But if not, because if even on the show when she's doing an interview, and it's just something about the way she does her vowels to me, because I'm a voice person. So I love mm-hmm. listening to different timbres and the tone, and something the way she does her vowels, I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah. It's like, at the end of the day, it's an auditory medium. If you don't like someone's voice, you're probably not going to like their podcast, you know?
Auditory. Yes. I think I have a lot of issues like with that. And that's one of them.
Speaking of VPR, Jax and Brittany are having a baby boy. Did you see their gender reveal video?
I saw a piece of it when the confetti went and Jax was like,
oh my God.
That's it. Oh, and then Brittany's like laughing.
She's like, oh, yeah, I'm so shocked. I can't believe it.
Yes, I saw that.
Well, what was so jarring to me was that they do the little firecracker thing.
Okay.
Now, I mean, not like a literal firecracker, but you know, those little poppers. Right, like, but just, yeah. And they find out they're having a boy, and Jax just goes, yes!
Yeah,
like, yes! And he just ignores Brittany. Like, you can tell in that moment, he's just like, there's going to be a mini me running around. Yes, like, his narcissism yes. took over.
And she's just watching like,
oh, I'm so shocked!
Right. Ryan Bailey makes very good points. He said, Jax is going to make this pregnancy all about him.
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. I know. I loved that post he did with Jax's shirt. That was like, go easy on me. Yes. I didn't take the hockey job in Florida. And, you know, I'm going to use my baby to get chicks.
Right. Like, what? You're right. I didn't even think about that. Like, he didn't explode in happiness and then hug her or
exactly
anything.
He turned his back on wow. her, and she was like holding out like two hands for a high five. Like, hey.
And I'm the one carrying the baby.
Yeah. And he was like, oh yeah, right.
So either they're all very, they're all on the same sex schedule, which who knows, but mm-hmm. the fact that they're, her, Brittany and Lala were both far enough along to reveal what they're having mm-hmm. was like, that's like, pretty coincidental.
It's wild, Taria. It's wild. To segue into you more specifically, you are a mother of three babies, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And they're some all days, performers.
I'm like, how did that happen? Yes. The oldest one. Well, here's a funny thing. So the oldest one, she sings, but not so much anymore. And I guess mm-hmm. she just doesn't really want to. And she never went the entertainment route as my other two. My son, still acting, still, you know, going to school for that. And my youngest mm-hmm. is very much into what's going on today. She's very much about educating her friends. I found out, like maybe 2 months ago, because they've been in online since they got out of school in March because of it. And their school started online in April. They were waiting to see what was going on. So her friend had come over in like July and said, Miss Taria, you know, we were all in the kitchen. Miss Taria, one of our teachers didn't like Sky. He was a military, older white gentleman. And it was her and her friend were the only black ones in class. And she said sometimes they would say like racial things and the teacher didn't say anything. And so she said the teacher didn't like Sky. Whenever she would get to class, even if she was like when she was on time, he would like shut the door on her sometimes and say, oh, you're late. Go to the office. And they all had to fill out index cards, write their names on the index cards. And he was supposed to write something nice about each of them. He did everyone but her. So, and this is leading into what I think she's going to do. So I'm like, why didn't you come and tell me? Why didn't he like you? And then her friend said, Miss Taria, Sky is so just pro about our skin color, about our skin, about like fighting for Black Lives Matter, the LGBTQ. So she had stopped standing for the Pledge of Allegiance and the national anthem. And when she never told anybody else they had to. When other kids asked her why she did, some of them decided not to stand as well. So I said, well, why didn't you tell me? Well, I was like, why didn't you tell me? I would have went up to that school like, we have a problem. And she said, because I could handle it. So ever since she was little, even when she was a little girl, she's always been very much interested in what's going on politically, socially, even economically. So we got a call from their manager last week that two of the people that manage them are moving to a different, they started their own business and we've been with them since 2011 and they wanted to take Sky and Corey, but Corey is going to California. So he would have to eventually find an agent out there. And she's been submitting them for auditions, but she's getting in trouble because we're on the list of, because we're in Maryland, they won't see them because of Maryland's numbers. And even though Maryland's numbers are going down low, we're still on that list. And it was funny because I thought I'd be more. So she said, I can help you find like another agent or I'll just submit for the things I can. So I ended, and it's funny because I've never talked to her that long in my life, Hannah. We talked for almost 2 hours. We started talking about Housewives. And she's like, did you see Ramona? And I'm talking about an agent that we've been with from 2011 and it's now 2020.
Wow.
And so yeah, she's in New Jersey and I'm like, you need to be a New Jersey housewife. And she's like, my husband would never go for it. But so we're talking. So I get off the phone and she's like, if anything comes up, we'll take them. But with Corey, let me know what I can do to connect him with an agent, but he's got to be out there. So blah, blah, blah. I tell her and she's like, well, she had already kind of said, Mom, I kind of want to phase out of all of it. And it was kind of a shock because she's gotten so close to Broadway, so close to so many different things. And I said, okay, what do you want to do? And she said, well, I'm definitely want to teach Black history. I want to teach. And I was like, God. Okay. And what's funny is, so me being a mom and I'm glad that I found what I wanted to do for me, because for a while I was kind of lost. So hearing that, I dumped my whole life into schlepping them to New York, you know, having to self-tape, you know, about the self-tape, having to do this, having to do that. So she wants to go to an HBCU, which is a historically Black college university. And she wants to teach African-American studies. A friend of mine is putting a call in to a woman who ran for Congress and also a Black congresswoman. So my daughter can talk to her and see what it's like on that level. Maybe she might want to go in that direction.
Oh my
gosh. But it's
definitely
going to be something political-ish / Black history. Yeah.
I have like chills. That's amazing.
Yeah. So she, and I said, well, maybe you can incorporate your music. Some kids think that history is boring. Maybe you could like be the one that writes skits and musicals to learn about history. Yeah. So that, and then my son, he is, like I said, still wanting to direct. So at least he's got school to focus. And Hannah, I'm actually surprised because at first I was like, the thousands of dollars we spent.
Oh, for sure.
Back and forth. But I always told them that this was their life. I was kind of glad in a way, because as much as I know he wants to act, but he also wants to direct. If he goes out there and books a part, I asked him, what would you do? Would you choose school? And he said, I don't know. I don't want that pressure on him. So I told him, don't think about what we would say. If you want to direct, direct. But if you booked a part and wanted to walk away and pursue full time, you can't. If you want to try to, and you as an actor know this, you can't take off and then go back in. But I told him, if you wanted to, when it was time to come home for the summer, stay out there and maybe see what you could get then. I said, do not go to Pump Rules though.
Yeah.
Or Ben, or sir, not Pump Rules. Don't go to sir, but
no, so, sir, no, sir allowed. Know.
Did I answer your question?
Oh no, I pretty much, yeah, I was pretty much going to say, like, what advice do you have for any like stage parents out there? But it kind of sounds like you already answered it. Basically, you let your kids make an informed decision based on what you teach them.
Based on what and the only thing I will say, sometimes I would question myself. And honestly, because we're the first people in our family to do this, when I tell you, I have to send you some videos. My husband sings, his other two brothers, his other three sisters, his mom did, his father did before he passed, all of his first cousins, all of their parents. So when all of his aunts, so when I say they sing, so they all wanted to do something with it, but our core immediate family were the first people to go out there and go off and try to, and sacrifice, because it was a sacrifice. I wasn't like, it's funny. I think about it now. I'm like, man, if I had to just kept my job or stayed in what I was doing, we would have the luxurious home we wanted, maybe the whatever, but we actually have everything that we want now. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? You think about that. I'm like, man, all that money that we spent, but whatever career path they decide, they know how to work with adults. They learn fast. Like, they learn something. They know how to speak up for themselves, yes, because they have to walk into a room with adults they didn't know and play a part. But I would say for the parents, don't let your family or even friends say, are you sure that's what they want to do? Or are you living through them? Let your kid, don't, you have to wipe, like, kind of remove those voices from your ear, because I had it in my ear so much. I went to my kids like 3 or 4 times and asked them. And finally my son said, Mom, this is what we want to do. And if we change our minds, we'll tell you. And that's what happened. And also it's funny. I had this pastor years ago. I didn't go to his church, but I was met up with him for something else. We were talking and he said, I had the dream and I told him about the dream. And he said, you have a tendency, you cannot control the atmosphere that your kids go in. Do you believe your kids are talented? I said, yes. He said, stop. It's your job as a parent to, yes, make sure they go over their lines, because they want to be kids. So of course they've got 5 pages of script to learn, but they want to go outside. Well, at that point it's like, no, you better learn
right
the script, because it's what you want to do. He said, outside of that, stop trying to coach them. Say it like this, do that. Trust the talent that you believe they have. And when I did that, it was so much easier just to be like, okay, did you learn those lines? Because mm-hmm. realistically, if they were soccer stars or baseball stars, I would make them go to practice.
Right.
So why wouldn't I make them do? So that's the only thing. Just kind of let your kids trust who you've raised your kids to be. Mm-hmm. You know, even when they're young, because if they're actors, they already have they're already probably little adults and not really children anyway.
Right. So, right.
You know,
wow. So, that's amazing. Good for you and good for them. I just immediately jumped to like a thought of like Teresa in my head, like taking Gia to New York, and Gia, like Teresa just being like, say it like this, Gia. Yeah, and Gia, like just clearly being annoyed, not wanting to do it. But again, that was an example where it was more for Teresa than it was for Gia.
Right. Because when they want to do it, they'll go in and turn it on. But one thing, yes, it's funny, Hannah, because I realized that my kids were like me, and I heard someone say, sometimes you're trying to discipline the you out of your children, meaning they're you and you don't like what they're giving back. It's because it's you. And I would always tell them, you perform it the way you rehearse it. So when we're in here doing lines, you perform it that way. And mm-hmm. then there were some times when I would either do my spoken word or do something like with our church, whatever, performing. And especially when I would do my spoken word, I would do it for Corey, because if you wrote something, I could recite your lines, no problem, act it, make it my own. When I write it, I'm always trying to make it better. Therefore, I'm always changing it. So I don't, yes, always remember what I say. So I would be practicing and he would be saying to me what I say to my kids. And I would say, I am when I get there, I'm just rehearsing now. And that's what my kids would say. And I was like, oh, okay. So
Oh my God, it's crazy.
It's really wild when I think of everything we've experienced. One time we saw Michael Strahan talk about a beautiful smile, and I did not realize he was that tall. Like, we were in Nickelodeon in New York, just sitting there. Sky goes in, does her thing, and I'm like, she comes out, and I'm like, you're ready? Yes, we can take the train and get back early. I look over, and I was like, I see a head at the top of the door. Well, who goes into buildings and is the same height as the door? I look over, and I'm like, and he was like, hi, everybody. How's everybody doing? And I think part of me was mesmerized because I've never been close to someone who was almost 7 feet tall before.
Yeah, that would stun me too. Wow. Yeah. Especially on TV, you always think that everyone's going to be short. Like, you always think it's like an optical illusion that they appear tall. So when someone on TV is actually tall, you're like, oh, damn.
Right. And for me, even like my husband, I'm sure Jake may watch basketball or football. They don't look that big to me. Mm-hmm. I was like, I thought TV added 30 pounds. Why doesn't it add that for the men? Why does it only add that for the women? And then I saw Cynthia Bailey's ex, the one everyone wanted her to get with, Leon, Noelle's dad. Mm-hmm. Speed this up, but we were on the train. Hannah, I almost could not control myself. There's this movie that you have to watch. It's called The Five Heartbeats, and it was written by Robert Towson. And he was in this movie, and it was about a singing group. So I love that movie, and I'm not a movie person more than any movie I've ever watched in my life. It's on my DVR right now. I love the movie. I'm going to send you the name of it. Well, in the movie, they sing, right? And one of the songs they sing is like, I got nothing but love for you, baby. It's just like really fast. Like it's based on a R&B group, say in the 60s, right? Mm-hmm. So we're on the train, and you know what the subway looks like, I'm sure. So we're sitting in the first seat. I'm sitting in a seat here. Then there's a seat against like the other side, but it's kind of close to me. And there's a guy sitting there, and I'm like, got my bags, trying not to pay attention. And my daughter's sitting next to me. My son is in the opposite seat. All of a sudden, the door's open. I swear to you, the wind stopped blowing. And Noelle's dad walks on, and he walks on. It was so funny that normally you don't see guys kind of react. The gentleman that was sitting like near me, he was going, and listeners, you can't see, but he's looking at me, and then he's going, looking at him, looking at me. It took everything in me. After just having come from an audition with my kids, I swear if we had one more stop, I would have stood up and started singing the song from the movie. And I've never felt that way. Like, I saw Michael Strahan. Oh, great. You know, whatever. I've seen other people. There was something about knowing, watching him. I was like, I wanted to be like, I've got nothing but love for you, baby.
Oh my gosh. I hope you collide with him again someday so that you can have that moment. I bet you would have liked it.
Well, it's funny because I tweeted lip sync battle, and then I tweeted all the people in that movie, and because it was a singing movie, and I said, can I come on and do the lip sync battle, but could I be everyone? So could I just compete against
myself?
And he thought that was hilarious. But yeah, so sorry to off track, but it was just funny, like seeing him and then connecting him to Cynthia, when before I only connected him to his acting. Now it's like, you know,
that's so wild. I know the power Bravo has over the way we see the world. I tell you what,
yes.
I'm like, no, Denise Richards is not a Real Housewife. She's Denise fucking Richards. Like, let's not forget.
Right. Let's not forget who she is. Meanwhile, Lisa Rinna. Yeah. Stay over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit. I unfollowed her for the second time, like yesterday. It felt good. I'm like, listen, I've done like 7 really good videos of me being you, and you will share everyone's. I know you've seen them. Some of them have been shared hundreds of times, and you refuse to repost. And so, like, you want to be petty? Fine. I'll be petty too.
You're talking about hundreds, thousands. One of them, and it's probably even more, was like 50. I was like, Corey, look at Hannah's video. I'm so excited.
Taria, let's now get into a little more behind the scenes. The woman behind the Bravo podcast. I want to know, first and foremost, you kind of mentioned earlier, but where exactly did you grow up?
New Jersey, South Jersey. So when I went away to college, it was in Pennsylvania. And my dad said, people are going to ask you where you live. And they will identify it by saying, what exit on the New Jersey Turnpike? Tell them, go to exit 1 and keep going. So basically, I was in the middle, 30 minutes from Philly, 30 minutes from Atlantic City. And it was a little town called Millville, New Jersey, that is a very, very small town. So that's where.
And
it was 45 minutes from where Monique grew up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where, what was junior high like for you in Millville?
So now, this is funny. When you say junior high, what do you consider? And I only say that because once I got out of eighth, some people consider eighth grade, but my junior high had an eighth and ninth graders. And then the high school had 10 through 12. So if I were to say junior high, ninth grade, it was almost like it was cool and exciting because I lived in a town where in eighth grade, I still went to my middle school, but ninth grade, I was going to this junior high with eighth graders from that town. Cool. So it was like new, exciting. My mom was letting me wear lipstick for the first time. I didn't have to wear my hair in ponytails or whatever because I'm like 13, 14. So it was like first time she let me cut my hair. So it was exciting. But then it was like, you're meeting all these people and boys think you're cute and whatever. But then it's like, you start realizing that you're probably not as cool as you thought you were, like when you're getting ready in the mornings, like, you know, and I wanted to like everyone. And it was more like, well, either you've got to be on this side or that side, basically, you know. And it, in probably like, I'll never forget this, maybe March or April of that year, it just felt like friendships were falling apart. Like, it was like, I just couldn't wait to be done school, to almost like start over for the new year. So it was good. And then it wasn't good. You know, just like the friends that you had since you were in elementary that were now popular and they made you feel like you were popular too until they wanted even more friends. So then they'd kind of like try to make fun of you or, but then behind the scenes on the weekends, it was legit me hanging out with those same people because you know, we're friends and blah, blah, blah.
It's the worst. I think that is like the hardest part of like the middle school, junior high, like period is that you're like, you're like coming into your own. You're like developing a sense of style. You're sort of, you know, forging like an identity, but you're also questioning it all the time because the people that you were the closest to that you trusted the most are also going through that at the same time. And so thus, you kind of grow apart. Whereas like in fourth grade, it's like you and your best friend, like call each other the day before school and you're like, let's both wear overalls tomorrow. And like, the same. And then junior high, it's like, oh, is that not cool anymore? Are we not wearing matching overalls?
We're not, we don't look like we're going to an amusement park together. Like we're a couple.
Oh my God. I remember like, it was such like a flex of friendship to like wear matching outfits to like third or fourth grade.
It was like, oh, they're friends for real. Oh, we're going to all wear the same.
And then there's nothing more devastating than like when like other friends of yours do it and don't call you. And you're like,
call you. You know, I always think about Annabelle DeSisto because I remember when she was friends with Stassi and it, or like almost now that I look back, it was like towards the end. She, I remember her mentioning, a group of me and my friends were supposed to go to Disney World and they were going to wear like the same shirts and ears. And she was like, huh, but funny, they canceled and I, or either they canceled or she didn't hear from them. And I see a picture of all of them with like the same shirt. And I just think about that, like even still as an adult, like, cause I think that was like 2 years ago. You're still like, I thought we were.
Well, that's the thing too, though, where I'm like, shame on them. Like what adult woman is like, let's wear matching ears. Like get over it.
And then leave someone purposely out knowing that they're going to see the pictures. It was like, and I understood Annabelle, like, again, like you said, we're adults, but I thought we were doing this together.
Like it's fun when I'm included, when I'm not, it fucking sucks. Yeah. And you're putting that image in a place where you know I'm going to see it.
Exactly. Exactly. So
you like, that's the other thing too. Like what's disappointing is when like junior high behaviors like translate into adulthood. Like I recently, I was like, I want to go to a cabin in October. And I have like one friend out here who like, we used to be roommates. And so we like, we're the kinds of friends where like she could, we could be like, hey, I'm going to go read by myself for 3 hours. Don't talk to me. It'll be fine. And you know, like as a young woman, going to a cabin by yourself for a couple of days is terrifying. But if you bring a friend along, it's fun and you feel a little more safe.
It's fun.
But it was a whole thing where like we had another girlfriend who we wanted to do like a girls trip. And I was like, that's not what this is. This is basically us just like recharging together in a cabin. But I made sure to tell her like, hey, I don't want you to see this on social media and feel like we're purposely leaving you out. Like just over communicate. Yes. And she was so appreciative. She's like, totally get it. Not a problem. Thank you so much for telling me because it would have hurt my feelings if I got on Instagram and saw you guys in a cabin together and you didn't invite me. you know,
and not knowing that you're recharging, thinking that your girl's tripping it
exactly.
out the whole time.
Exactly. Yep. It's like yep. drinking pink wine same. And like twirling yeah. around, dancing to like Little Mix. Like that's not what's happening.
We are literally like, don't talk to me. I'm vegging in front of the TV, or I'm reading,
yes.
or I'm meditating, or whatever. For yep, yep,
just
I get
in
it.
Nature. That's all I want. What was your first job?
This is funny. In the eighth grade, I worked at a fruit stand. It was the most boring job that I've ever had. I would work for like 4 or 5 hours, and I would stand there. And when people would come and pick out, oh, I want the tomato, or I want the, it was horrible. That was my first job.
Oh my gosh.
And sometimes I forget. So I'll say my second that I actually count as a real, but I guess that was a real job. The second, the first job that I actually got a printed check for was McDonald's.
Yes. Wait, while I have you, will you please tell my listeners your McDonald's hack?
So I tried it once and it was good, but I didn't eat it every time on break. But my friend used to work the grill, and him and another guy would take chicken nuggets, fresh, and the slice of cheese that you would put on a cheeseburger and wrap it around the chicken nugget and just let it melt. So it was, guys, I wish you could see Anna's face. So it was a slice of cheese literally melted around the chicken nugget.
That sounds delicious.
It does. And I'm picturing it in my, them doing it in my head right now.
Oh, wait, what's your favorite nugget sauce?
Barbecue. And now, because I'm kind of, I hate to say this, but basic with it, when it comes to eating, my palate is like a kid's palate, mm-hmm. but barbecue. And then I dip, like I'll dip it in barbecue, bite it. And then when it's exposed, dip it in sweet and sour.
This is why I love that question. Cause everyone has such a nugget system. Like I'll bite it when it's exposed, dip it in the hot mustard, then dip it in the ketchup so that it's a little like hot mustard ketchup
yes.
mixture. Or sometimes yes. I'll hit it with the honey too. And then it's just like a beautiful dance
mouth.
Of flavors.
Yeah. In your mouth. Yes. Like first, like that's my thing. Bite it. And then I used to back. So salt and pepper was no longer like one side of your hair high, one side of your hair long. Cause I used to have that mm-hmm. haircut too. So I used to, we used to like part it in the middle, wear like a big old swoop. And then I had, you know, my brown lip liner with my clear gloss over it.
Yes.
Well, we ended up getting bright pink McDonald's shirts with the little yellow McDonald's and the little pink visor. And from the waist up, cause the pants were horrible, from the waist up, I was so cute. And I would have like my little necklace or my earrings and my hair. I put that visor on. And sometimes I'd let my hair go over the visor.
Cute.
Or sometimes I'd let it go in the visor. And I'd be like, welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order? And then when they realized I was fast, my routine in the summer when I wasn't working is I would get there an hour before the breakfast lunch switchover, and they would put me on fries because they knew I was fast. So I hope I didn't give somebody high cholesterol, because I would take, it's like a big vat of salt, and I would sprinkle the salt over the fries in the shape of the M for the McDonald's. So I'd be like,
I love that. Oh my gosh. You got to make it exciting. Yes. I do that at like every job. You find a little thing that's just your little,
yes,
your little
that's
signature.
Yours.
Yeah.
And then they would put me on that drive through, and I'd have to work both of those registers, and I'd make the little chicken nugget boxes, and I'd be chilling, talking to the cute boy that I liked back there. Like, ha ha, what, we need to go get patties downstairs. Can somebody come?
Oh my gosh, the way you styled your uniform like sounds like you're like in a movie. You know what I mean?
Thinking back now, it was like, but I could never leave work. Like if you work in a store, like a regular store, you could, after you get off work, change clothes and go out. I'll never forget, my high school had a bonfire and my then boyfriend was picking me up from my cousin's house. So I ran to her house thinking the smell of burgers were going to stay in my clothes. We get in the car and he's like, did you work today? And I was like, yes, because it was like in your hair and the smell.
Yes.
So you had to shower.
That happened to me when I worked at the movie theater. I smelled like popcorn and like BO like all the time. Like I would work up a sweat working by that popcorn machine. I
yes.
tell you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I loved that job.
That sounds fun. Also, like going back to the fruit stand, I feel like if anyone could make selling fruit fun, it would be you. Like, I feel like you would be like, did you know that, you know, strawberries are in season? Like, I really think you would like sell them. You know,
I'm trying to think now how I definitely know that I was very friendly because she got compliments that I was very friendly because I had to do something to Hannah. If no one bought fruit for like an hour and there was nothing else to do, I was standing up. I couldn't even sit down. So it was like, I'm just watching cars go by. And I think that is part of where my imagination comes from. I used to teach myself, when you're bored, go away and create something in your mind. I have so many stories that I've created in my mind. And it's funny because my mother-in-law sometimes will be like, so where are you now? Jamaica. Like, I'm not even here.
I love that. Then you're never bored. Like you literally just did it with the dinner in New York with the Real Housewives of Atlanta cast, where you're like, here's what I'm wearing. Here's what I'm eating. Here's where we're going. Here's Kenya's not invited.
She doesn't even go here.
Speaking of outfits, what was your favorite outfit that you wore to a school dance?
It had to be, high school because in elementary school, I was on student council, helped plan the dances. I was never allowed to go because my parents had just started going to church. And back then it was taught like everything is Satan. So wasn't allowed to go to any dances.
That sucks. So you had to plan the dance and then you couldn't even go?
Yes. Selling tickets. And every time we had a dance, I was waiting for my mom to be the one to come in and go, you can go. Nope. But thank God they realized that, you know, I could go and whatever. But so I'm going to have to say, honestly, my 12th grade prom, because my mom took me all over and she was like, and this is back, what, 95? Oh my God. She's like, we're not going to pay that much. There's got to be something. And after she saw what was out there, I remember telling my dad was like, how much is it? And she was like, 300. And he's like, and she's like, Ronnie, it's my dad. There's nothing else out there, but it was blue sequin. Mm. And it had like the sweetheart neckline and the straps were rhinestone. And it was so like little sweetheart neckline and it went all the way down to my ankles. And then I think I wore silver shoes. And then my mom did my hair and the En Vogue French roll. And I had a little swoop. No, I had a bun. I had a really pretty bun that she did. And then I had a little swoop. Then I had my pretty brown lipstick and a beautiful bouquet.
Oh my gosh. Wait, what shade of blue was it?
Royal blue. That was my favorite color. Like royal blue.
That's what I pictured.
And I was walking. It was like my body was like moving every time.
Oh my gosh, that sounds stunning. What was the silhouette like? Like, did it puff out or was it more like close to the body?
It was close to the body. That was also another reason my mom had to like prepare my dad because, so it was very close. It was another skin pretty much.
Oh my gosh.
I have pictures.
Can I see them? Will you show them to me sometime?
Yes. I will
text
you.
That sounds beautiful. Yes. I mean, like it literally sounds like a 90s dream come true. And it's probably so funny too, where like you see all these like 19-year-old influencers like wearing outfits that like you've already worn. You're like, you weren't even there.
Yeah. Girl, do you think you created, because now the whole brown lip line is coming back. I'm like, you did not create that. We used to do that. And I used to do it so good that I didn't need a mirror. I could outline. And then when MAC came out, you get that MAC clear gloss. That was the first thing I ever got from MAC. Yes. And MAC is so strong. I could probably use it to gel my baby edges and put on my lips at the same time.
It does like, not like, move. It stays move. For hours.
And when you get your hair caught,
like if a gust of wind comes, it's like cemented to your face and you have to like pull it out. And then your hair is sticky the rest of the day.
Yes. So that was my favorite.
Oh, I love that. I actually did that MAC lip liner look like with the clear gloss, but I did it with gray lip liner like a few years ago. And I felt very like Erica Jane about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I
give it a try. I felt very cool. I think the color, it might have been a MAC lip pencil. It was called Stone, was the color. So it was almost sort of like
stony.
Yes. It's like a grayish brown. It's so pretty.
Now, did you just do the line or did you kind of like mush your lips together?
I kind of like blotted it a little. Yeah. Oh, so okay. It was sort of like a faded. It looked cool though. I'm going to try that again.
You have inspired me. I was just going to say, I'm going to be like,
It'll Thanks, be fourth Hannah. Grade. We'll call each other and we'll be like, are you doing the lip liner today? Okay, cool, cool, cool. Post a selfie and at this time.
I was just going to say, we're going to post together twinsies. Yeah.
Do you ever feel like that sometimes on social media when it's like everyone's tagging everyone and it's kind of the equivalent of like an away message where it's like, shout out to my bests, Nicole, yes. Jessica, yes. Tiffany. Yes. And you're like, why didn't you tag me?
Yes, it's so funny. And then when you do get a tag, you're like, oh my God. Like,
yes, you feel so cool. They, you're like, well, I'll be sharing that to my story because you tagged me in your story. Yep.
And then it's like, oh, maybe when I share it, I'll tag someone who wasn't tagged so they don't feel so left
out. Literally, talk about junior high behaviors as an adult. I was like, right, why do I feel like adult. I'm in seventh grade right now? Where I'm like, why didn't they tag me?
I know. Or when you like hear, and of course, duh, because I do the same thing. Although I feel like, I'm like, Hannah's going to think borderline stalkerish because I swear I mention you in every podcast. I literally was talking about you to Oh No Bra. Today we were talking about you. And we said that we're going to find out the other Hannah's middle name and call her Hannah whatever Brown and because you deserve to be Hannah Brown.
Thank you, Hannah Redacted Brown. The other one is Hannah Redacted Brown. I'm the only Hannah Brown that matters.
Brown, yes. But when you hear people call out other, like, make sure you listen to this podcast. It's like,
you're like, what about me?
But it's like, really get yourself together. Like, you do the same thing. It's like,
exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, no one's ever like, it's, you have to give, that's what I'm learning as an adult is like, just give everyone the benefit of the doubt. Like, nobody's out to get you. It's
to
just,
get you.
Everyone
exactly.
has their own shit going on.
Yep.
Who was your cartoon crush growing up?
This is going to sound weird, and I hope your listeners don't think I have to check into PetSmart like Portia for a rabies shot, as Nene said. I loved, oh my God, I cannot believe, I cannot think of the name of the cartoon, but the character was Lionel. He and his girlfriend was Shira.
Wait,
you know what I'm talking about? Thundercats. Thundercats.
Yes.
Thundercats. Well, the lead, of course, Lionel. I think his name was Lionel. He was, look up Thundercats. Thundercats are on the move.
Lionel,
Thundercats are loose. Yes, he was my crush.
I mean, listen,
I was Shira. I was his
built.
Shira. Yes.
I mean, he can get it. I like his eyes.
Yes, let me tell you. And I was, I lived it on a long driveway. It was my house, then a grass, and then my cousin's house, and then some grass, and then my grandmother's house. And his girlfriend, Shira, would like run like really fast, like the wind, or like to meet him. So
oh, yes.
I would like leave my house and go to my cousin's, and I would fly across. Yes. I was
She's snatched. She's like thick.
So I would be her, and I would be like, every time I would run across that grass from my house to my cousin's, I would hear, Thundercats are on the move.
Yes.
Thundercats are loose. And I was Shira. And then you go,
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I need to watch that show because I feel like I would like it as an adult.
I think you would. That was my crush, Lionel.
Wow. Great one. This is why I love this question because half the time I hear about cartoons that I don't even know.
Yes.
You know, here I am being like, oh, Aladdin's pretty hot, like week after week. And then and then you name this dude. And I'm like, who's that?
And I think they actually tried to do like a reboot of it. I don't know if it's still on, but yeah.
Really? I'll have to research this. Who would your celebrity bestie be and why?
After Hannah A. Brown from Not Inspirational Podcast, I've always thought about this. Let me see. I honestly think it would be J-Lo because I love, even though it's a more Southern, I'm from Jersey. She's from New York. I love hoops. I love a bun and I love aviator glasses. I love a poppin' lip. I love Timberland. She wears like Timberlands. And I think that I could be wrong, but I think that she would just be kind of chill. Like when she turns up, she turns up, but not. But I also feel like I don't like to do a lot of planning. Like it's when people say, oh, when do you want me to do the podcast? I'll say, when can you be available? Because that's easy for me, mm-hmm. like to go by. I feel like she's probably a control person and probably always been. So she'd be like, yo, let's go to so-and-so. Hey, we're planning a vacation. Are you in? These are the dates. So I feel like she'd be like a take control in that area kind of friend. And I feel like I could probably tell her my problems and I want to see her get mad and like go off in Spanish. And like when they, yes. when she mixes like Spanish and English. So I guess she would be.
That's a great answer. I feel like J-Lo seems so cool. And I don't know if it's because the first thing I saw her in was Selena, but like she seems so yes. down to earth and warm. Like mm-hmm. even in that movie as Selena, like J-Lo brought such a warmth to the role.
Yes, she did. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
that part, I always think about the part in Selena when she can't speak Spanish and she's getting interviewed and she goes, yes. muy, muy excited. And she just giggles. It's the cutest thing. Oh,
yep. Yep.
Love her.
Because people think Selena that you would know Spanish. They would, mm-hmm. they automatically assume. Yep. And I love her style, hands down. Oh. I love her clothes. I love her off. Like, I love her gym style, her gym clothes. I love all of that. So yeah, she
would
be.
Oh my gosh. She's also, she's a Leo. And like, when I think of like Leo energy, I'm like, it's J-Lo. Like she embodies every, like okay. I am the ruler. Okay. Like I run yes. everything. Like she's
yes.
just
oh, yes.
a true star. Great answer. Great answer. Do you have a revenge fantasy? And if so, what is it?
I do. My revenge fantasy is for everyone who thought I would never be anything. Yes. And this sounds petty, but for everyone who, because you know, I have another podcast. So for people who said, I thought it was your hobby, or I just thought this, mm-hmm. And for someone called, oh, your little podcast, for all those people. And then the one I'm doing now that half of them don't even know about, which is a fun script. I want to one day, they either turn on The View.
Yes.
Maybe The Real, but I don't know. I like The Real, but I don't like the games and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like The View where they talk, I want them to turn on the TV, or even if it was Watch What Happens Live or yes. some type of show, and turn it on and they see me and then they text me and say, girl, oh my God, we should get together. It's been so long. I know when you were doing your podcast, and I would be like, oh my God, thank you for your support. And that would be the end.
Yes.
I wouldn't even be like nasty. I would be like, thank you. Because of you guys not supporting The One, I decided I was going to go ahead and do this one and not tell hardly anyone, and say, if you can reach out to strangers and people you don't know and involve yourself in a community without someone bringing you in, then basically you have what it takes to either run a business or do, because you have to be able to reach beyond the people around you. So I want them to turn on their TV, whether it's ABC, The View, or if it's a Bravo talk show, whatever kind of talk show, and just see me moderating.
Yes. You'll be in like a great outfit, incredible makeup. Everything's done. Everything is just on point. And you're just sitting there smiling and doing your thing, charismatic as always. And they'll just be like, wait, what?
Yes.
And then like a couple of them will text each other. Did you see Taria? Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, invite her out this weekend. No, thank you.
Yeah, she should totally come out. And then you're like, sorry, I have plans and it's not being friends with you. I love that. That's
that is
like,
my revenge fantasy.
I think that's similar to revenge fantasies I've had, but it is, I feel like I always say, like when you're at total peace, like revenge fantasies don't hold as much weight, but like,
exactly.
But they do help you get through the tough times where you're like, you just have yeah. something to focus on. And it always involves like you being successful and like overcoming yeah. other people yep. being shitty to you.
And still remaining. There is a prayer that I say, I get nervous. Like when I talk to people that, you know, like you want to talk to, mm-hmm. and when you do new ventures, if I go out and perform poetry, I get nervous. And I do say a prayer and say, God, please let me keep that. Because when you get to the point where not, even if it's just a tinge of nervousness, but you're like, you can say to yourself, I got this for nervousness. But when I don't need anybody because I got this, I'm this, that's to me when arrogance comes in instead of humbleness. And you can be humble and still say, I'm the bomb. I can do this.
Yes.
And still admit, but I am a little nervous. I don't want to disappoint, because you're worried about disappointing the people that are tuning in to listen to you or watch you. You want to give them a good show or let them listen to a good show. So I do say a prayer, and it's randomly, even like with this podcast and how you guys have been so embracing, I say, God, please help me to stay true to what I set out to do with this podcast, not change who I am, and to remain humble. So my revenge, would be them watching me and still being, hi, no,
yes. Just humble and delightful. It's so true. Being humble, like, it comes from a place of caring, because it's like, because you're like, yes, I'm doing this thing that I love, but I want to show up as my best self because I'm doing this for other people as well, you know? And you care about them. You know, you care about the people who listen to your show, and you care about the people who follow you and what you're doing.
Right.
And you know? Yeah.
And I like how you said, I've never heard anyone say humbleness comes from a place of caring. I like that, because it, because sometimes I would be like, I feel like some people, what's it called when you're like, not like false humility, when you're like, oh my, my God, me? No.
Yeah. That like Taylor Swift winning an award, like, it's like, you knew you were going to win. Oh my God. It's kind of, listen, I love Lady Gaga so much, like so much, but when she was doing A Star Is Born and she's like, there can be 100 people in the room and 99, I was like, you've been a famous superstar for 10 years.
Thank you. Like, give
you
me a break.
You were plucked out of a mall in Minnesota. Like, we all knew who you were.
And yes. Oh my God. Yes. I'm in total agreement.
Yeah. But I was just talking to my friend David about this, and he's very like woo-woo and like such a calming, like grounded person. But we were talking about like when you're a creator, how if you create from a place of like wounding, where you're like, I'll fucking show them, even if that gets you some level of success, it's not sustainable. Whereas when you create from a place of genuine like love and excitement for what you're doing, that's something you can sustain long term.
That's very true, because you're operating off of like negative energy versus positive, even if you still have the thoughts about like, wait till they see this, but they're not the reason I'm doing it.
Exactly.
Even if they help you get there, but you're not, even if you are a catalyst for it, but you're not the reason for it.
Exactly.
So yeah, I like that. I like that.
Do you have a hype up song? And if so, what is it?
I have one. And because I'm like, back to really, truly getting back. I used to be like exercise, 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 run, run, run. And then life happens and you get on, like I was on this like steroid medicine that didn't know it. And I was like, why are my gym pants cutting off my circulation after like a month? So it's like fighting my own body to get back to. So there's a song by Maya, the singer Maya, and it's called My Body's Like Whoa. And what she's saying, it's like a confident, like she's saying like, you know what song?
I love that song.
I'm going to. And the video, have you seen the video? Even though I know it's like 100 years old.
I haven't seen it since I was like a kid, but I used to love it.
And so I listened to that and I'll be like, my body's like, whoa, my kiss is like, whoa. That's right. Like I am that, like, whoa, my sex is like, whoa. Like just something to hype me up, because I feel like it's okay for women to operate in the fullness of their sexy. It doesn't mean that I'm out here sleeping around. I mean, and I feel like that still attracts men. Like your man, Jake, I'm sure wants to see you confident. I know Corey likes when I am confident about who I am. And one thing I heard Kyle Richards say, and this is one of the only things I'll give her credit for, other than looking stunning now, but she said her mom always taught her, sometimes we'll have a tendency to be like, oh, I'm too fat, or oh, I'm too skinny, or oh, my hair's not right. And we point it out to our partner. Mm-hmm. And these are things that our partners may truly not have noticed, but you continuing to critique yourself in front of your partner is now drawing attention to it. And now he is noticing it.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, her mom was like, don't do that in front of your partner. They see you through eyes of love, which you don't know what they see. So for me, that song is just like, gives me a confidence. So like when I walk, like I might switch my hips a little more. It's on my phone. I love. And then when she goes, you'll never find nothing better, I'm like, nobody. whether it's a husband, a podcast listener, a mother, like it's just me, like it just hypes me up. Like you'll never find nothing better.
Yes. You know, I love that. Adding it to my playlist, like right after we sign off. That's, I forgot about that song, but it's a great one.
And then I have to say, sometimes Nene hypes me up. Nene's new song, Come On and Get This. That came on in my car and I'm like, come on and get this. And she's rapping on the song.
What? I haven't listened to this yet. I need to.
Oh, I'm sending it to you.
Okay.
I'm sending it to you.
I have to check it out. I'm very interested.
And you need to text me immediately when you hear it.
Oh my God. I know. We have so much to digest on our text thread. Like we took our friendship from IG to the text. And
yes.
It's a thrill.
To the text.
Yes. My final question for you, this was such a blast.
Yes, it was. I love talking to you.
Oh my God. I love talking to you too. I'm like, I hate that I have other things to do. I could talk to you for 5 hours.
I know. I'm like, what am I cooking for dinner? Like, what am I doing?
What is something considered aspirational that you don't have yet, but you want?
I want, and I know this may sound crazy, but I want influence. Because I think influence is worth more than money. So if I have, and I want influence with powerful people. So if I know the network head at Netflix and I say, hey, I have a friend named Hannah who does these videos, check out her videos. You don't have to go off my word, call her in for an audition, see what you think. That's truly something that I want to be able to do. I used to have, I paid for a business name called Connect the Dots. I want it to be the person that connected people to help them get to their destiny. So I realize now it doesn't necessarily have to be a business. If I can have influence with people in positions to put people in places that they want to be, that's what I want to do. So I want to be able to speak one word and make things happen.
That is an amazing answer. And I think I think it's great that you're like, I want influence so I can help people out. I mean, that's like badass, but it is also like, it's so true because I agree that influence is worth more than money because you get to sort of like help decide the way the tides turn and you can make changes for the better, you know?
For the better. Yep. And even if it's so influence, I may say, oh, can you check out Hannah? And then I may want to go to a restaurant and say, hey, my friend, my friend so-and-so told me to call you. He told me you have a table for me because I have influence with him. He's like, oh, let me call this restaurant and hook you up or you call him. So that it's like, it works like for everyone.
Yes.
So that's what I want. I want influence.
Everyone wins. Everyone wins when Taria has influence. Okay. Manifest it. Oh my gosh. This was such a treat. Thank you so, so much for your time and for coming on. I just love you so much.
I love you too, guys. Hannah is wonderful. I knew that you were good, but when I don't watch a scary movie ever. And when I listen to you and Troy and I'm cracking up and you're saying, so would you jump out of a window? Like, it was like, you guys went on this big arc and then you're like, so, and I laughed so hard. I love you guys. I love all of your guests that you have. And I'm listening to your other podcast. I love you and your friend. When she laughs to the point of snorting, it makes me laugh to the point of snorting. And I'm like, I'm snorting and I'm out in public listening to them. I love you guys.
Oh my gosh. And your podcast, you have two as well. You are such a star. You have like broken into the Bravo podcasting space, like just in the most incredible way. Please podcast always because I love your shows. But also, please plug all of your projects. Where can my listeners find you? Yeah. All the things.
So podcast, what else is going on? If you go to Instagram, I use the acronym WEGO, WEIGO podcast. So at WEGO podcast on Instagram, I wasn't, thinking to create one for Twitter. So just follow me on Twitter at TS Faison, T like Tom, S like Sam, FAISON. And then my personal Instagram is at TS Faison. The podcast can be found anywhere podcasts can be found. If you go to my Instagram, click the bio and it's a link that I went through some company to create. I'm sure you know, but if you click on it and you have an iPhone, it takes you to Apple. If you have an Android, it'll take you to hell. Then it'll actually bring you back and take you to then it'll take you to actually a platform where you can listen on Android. So it's kind of cool. Whatever phone you have, you don't have to worry about trying to download, you know, iTunes if you have an Android or blah, blah, blah. So click the link in my bio at We Go Podcast, and that's where you'll find it. My other podcast, I Feel Like Monique, because she hasn't updated hers, and I've been slacking on that and haven't done an episode since August 4th, but I'm on it. But it's called Tales, T-A-L-E-S, From a Butterfly, and you can find that on any place podcasts can be found.
Thank you so much, y'all. Give Taria a follow. Listen to her podcasts.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. I'm going to be sending you the Five Heartbeats movie and the Come On and Get This song by NeNe Leakes.
Oh my God. I can't wait. Thank y'all for listening. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye. Love you, Hannah.